never bends. The rain came in the night, the wind with the first light. It shook the door so gently, it sounded like you.
That lovely effortless sound is Paddy Mann, the Melbourne folk musician who performs as Grand Salvo. Paddy, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So nice to have you here. That's a lovely guitar.
It is a nice old thing. It's an unbranded American guitar that I found on eBay.
A no-name
about
guitar.
10 years ago.
Well, it's gorgeous. And it sounds so nice. It's quite small.
Yeah, it's a Parlor. They're called parlor guitars. They're slightly smaller and made for kind of finger picking.
Appropriate for the parlor. So you're up on stage next week performing in a work called Endings, which is about death and what we do when love dies. And you're here with the performance artist Tamara Sawick, acclaimed performance artist, it says here, Tamara. Nice to have you in the studio.
Lovely to be here.
So what prompted this show? Why did you set out to make a show about death?
That's a very good question. I started off actually with just the idea of working with the theme of endings. And as I began the work, I was thinking about endings in a broader sense, passages of life or all sorts of endings as they occur or how we think of them in our lives. And I was interested in that theme and for some reason pairing it with working with vinyl records. That was the thing that came into my head. As I started to work on the show and started to do interviews with people around the theme, it started to focus more and more strongly in on life ending. And right. So it's eventually become very much about that.
Well, a vinyl record does have a kind of graphic ending. I mean, if you're watching a vinyl record play, the arm moves in further and further towards the centre. It reaches the kind of point of where everything must end.
Yeah.
And then if you've got an automatic record player, it's quite dramatically because there is no going back. The arm lifts and, you know, returns to a resting place. And then it's time for a new song.
Or else we're left with just the infinite crackle.
Oh, shh.
Yeah.
Shh.
Yeah.
Shh. Shh.
And you can also
those are my
do a
fantastic
locked
beatbox skills, listener. I know, it's awesome, isn't it?
I thought a CD had started. Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, you can also do a locked groove where it plays the last phrase, or so you can have an endless record.
Right. Now, you've got death on your backlist as well.
Yes, it is a subject that I have visited in the past.
So you've released two albums. One's called Slay Me in My Sleep.
Yes, that's the last one.
And then one called, before that, one called Death.
Yep, and then there's a couple of others as well that aren't so explicitly about death, but those two are.
But death is a sub-theme even in the others, you're suggesting.
Yes.
Yes. So the two of you have been working independently and then you meet and you discover you've got this common ground. Is that the?
Well, actually, the link point was Peter Knight, who's the composer for this work, the sound designer composer, and he and Paddy have been collaborating on a music project together. And I've worked with Peter in the past, and Peter had been working with Paddy, and I started developing the idea for this show, and Peter thought that Paddy would be a great person to work with, and I loved Paddy's music.
So the show's called Endings, and it's on at the Arts House, which is a big old town hall in Melbourne, in suburban Melbourne, which is now turned over to performance spaces. So what do we see? We go in and what happens? What confronts us?
The heroes of the show really are these beautiful old audio players. So there's a number of portable 1960s portable record players, about five or six of them in the space. And we also work with reel-to-reel players and tape loops, and some of which we're recording live on stage.
Right.
And they move around the space, and in a sense, they become our co-players. Their voices emerge from them.
Oh, this sounds like fun. So lots of sound gear.
Lots of sound gear.
Heritage sound gear.
Heritage sound gear. And so what you're seeing is Paddy and myself and Peter off in the distance in the background, who's working on an old Revox, which is a beautiful old reel-to-reel recorder. You're seeing us physically making the sound live, and I'm interacting with these conversations, right, which are recordings.
And then I hear there's something quite dramatic you're doing with light.
Yeah, we work with Ben Cobham from Blue Bottle, who's a wonderful, wonderful designer who I've worked with before, who is the master of black and light coming out of black. He's designed this beautiful, very simple but beautiful design, which is based around lights which can be moved around and up and down and within the space. They're hanging lights.
You mean while the audience is there?
Yeah. So Paddy and I physically manipulate these lights. They're hanging from cables. We move them forward and up and down, and we swing them, and they make arcs in the space.
Oh, I love the sound of this. In fact, I'm a sucker for a black theatre because it's so flexible.
Yeah.
And you can have so much fun. Now, you've brought in a really fantastic piece of equipment, which I can't quite see because it's on the floor.
Yes. But
it's just over the lip of the cliff of my desk. But on the floor, I know, there is a turntable. What's the story with this?
So this is an old Caliphone, and these used to be standard issue in primary schools around Australia. And I remember when I was a kid, when you did PE out in the playground, they'd turn on one of these old record players and they'd play, the Elephant Walk or Popcorn, and you'd throw your little beanbags to each other. That's my memory. That was the portable music player of the day.
Wow, that didn't happen at our school, but that is a great scene for a movie, isn't it? That's gold.
So these are 1960s, portable. They were the portable players
of the
day.
So this is not a pretty object. It is pretty, but it's a kind of industrial strong.
Do you know what? One of the things I like about these is they look like hospital machinery
they
to
do.
Me. They've got these kind of heavy old 1960s knobs and
it's a sort of grey
dials.
Metal box with knobs, and it looks as though you could carry it in a military vehicle and get to the other end, and
That's
you could
right.
still play your record. So maybe we should hear what you're doing on this first. Should we do that before we perform? Can you explain to us what you've done? You've got a recording on there with some tape on it.
Yeah, we have. I'll tell you two things. One, I've made a series of interviews which I've then edited, and we've cut them onto vinyl records. So in one point in the show, Paddy and I are kind of DJing these voices. So we're lifting our hands on and off, and the records are playing.
And are the people talking about death?
Yeah. So they're kind of, we're DJing this live
This is good.
Conversation around death. And those conversations specifically are centred around the final weeks and moments before and after the loss of a loved one.
And is every performance therefore different, or is it very, very tightly choreographed?
There's some flexibility, but it's pretty much the sonically, in terms of those conversations, they're quite exacting, although because of the unpredictability of these machines, there's all sorts of things that can happen.
So you're going to perform now. How we use this first?
Yeah, what we've got here is just a vinyl record that Paddy's taken and made a few little scratches in the end of it, which is made like perhaps you could explain, Paddy, your approach to the drum machine.
Hang on, I'm just going to stand up.
Okay, so
that I can see what's going on.
We did quite a few experiments with basically damaging the records to get different clicky breathing sounds out of them, and we realised that at 16 revolutions per minute, you could score like a 4-4 drum beat.
Right. So you can slow this record player down to very, because the standard speed for a record is, for an LP like this is 33. So this is a specially rigged up device that can play very slow speeds as well.
Yeah, they have these old players play anything from 16 RPM up through to 78.
We're all dying for you to make a noise.
I'm,
stop talking.
I'm going to turn it
and
on.
Make the noise.
we discovered, though, that tape, little strips of tape, made quite a good kick drum sound, and a deep scratch with the end of a pair of scissors made a nice kind of snare sound.
All right, so you made your own sort of budget drum machine.
And then a lighter scratch made quite a nice little kind of hi-hats.
So don't invest thousands in a drum machine, kids. Just get Dad's old LPs
and scratch them.
Yep.
That's it.
Because you get this funky sound. Okay, do you want to lay some musical track on top of this? What are you going to sing?
I'm going to sing one of the other songs from the piece. When the day is done, I turn your old radio on. It's funny how we all come back to the things we found intolerable when we were young. So I'm older now, I see just what I've left undone. I never had a child of my own, and a pattern as old as it was will be gone when I breathe no more. Line on me as long as I
goes by the name of Gran Salvo, performing live for us here on Books and Arts. And with him in the studio is Tamara Solwick. Had death touched you, can I ask you, Tamara, when you thought of this project?
Actually, no, the idea came before. My father had been ill for quite some time, so I think it was in my consciousness. After I'd begun work on the project, he did pass away.
Right.
So that, that has kind of embedded itself now within the work.
And did that make you more inclined to continue with the project, or did it feel suddenly too raw and difficult to go on? Well, obviously you went on, but was it hard to go on, or did it add to your desire to do it?
That's a good question. I don't know. I just think it just fed into it. There wasn't a sense of I should or shouldn't continue. Right. It was just, oh, okay, this is part of what's informing this work now.
And you were inclined, you've made this public, you were inclined to go to a psychic.
Yeah, I went to a couple of psychics and who were very gracious. They allowed me to record the interviews, and I told them I was making a work exploring death and that I'd be interested in using the material in the work that I was making.
Oh, right. So those encounters are part of the show.
Yeah, very much. So you hear the psychics coming off these old reel-to-reel players, and I'm in conversation with them as they give me these readings.
This is so intriguing. I know I sound like I'm selling the show and I haven't even seen it, but it's a beguiling idea. And it's going to such a difficult area because, of course, you want people to come, but you say, are we putting on a show about death? It doesn't sound like a must-see, does it? I mean, it's a kind of challenging concept.
Mm.
Yeah, it is. I think it is, but you know what? It's very much a part of life. And the thing that I found interesting is as I've spoken to people and I interviewed people around the theme, actually I didn't feel people were resistant. It was quite the opposite.
In fact, the public conversation is not much about death, but most of us have been touched by it because, well, we're all mortal.
Yeah, and yeah. I actually think that the public's conversation is shifting around that.
Do
and
you?
I think people are, I think the amount of conversation around palliative care these days is entirely different.
Well, and the right to die.
Yeah, and how we want to live and how we want to die, I think. And actually, when you talk to people about their experiences, often people are grateful for a space to be created to reflect on something that's part of our lives.
Do you know what I love about the sound of your show is that it is about something. It's not about theatre. It sounds as though it's very inventive in the way it uses theatre and sound and music. It's exploring theatre and form, but to actually go places that are to do with the mind and human experience. And to me, that's the kind of art that really sings to my soul.
Mm. And I think one of the things I like about this is that it is this kind of many people's experiences, multiple voices and multiple reflections and perspectives on this theme.
Yeah. Well, thank you to the two of you for coming in. It's been very thought-provoking and quite a privilege to be here. It's always a wonderful thing to be with a live musician because it's kind of miraculous to me that you can do what you do. So Achukas, for when does it open? Wednesday. It opens Wednesday the 13th. It runs through until Sunday the 17th. It's at the North Melbourne Town Hall, which these days is known as Arts House, and it's called Endings. And we've been talking to Tamara Sawick, who's the performance artist and audio artist who has conceived this show, and Paddy Mann, who's the musician, and you'll find his albums filed under Grand Salvo. I'm Michael Cathcart. This is Books and Arts.